The Block Talk podcast started because of my passion for the property management industry. I wanted to start a conversation and add some value within the industry with a diverse range of people and professionals who can add something extra. As we start out, my aim is that the podcast offers some useful insight into a variety of views, opinions, thoughts, and foresights from our guests, who include business leaders and industry experts. If you enjoy the podcast and want to find out any other information, head on over to brianwelsh.co.uk. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Block Talk podcast with me, Brian Welsh. Today we have Siobhan Riley, who is the winner of the Above and Beyond Award for this year's PMAS Excellence Awards. Tom Bezick, our business development manager, presented to her at the dinner. So Siobhan started off life as, she's been in property management for 15 years. Started off life as a property manager. She's now an associate director at Redpath Bruce. She's come up through the ranks over those 15 years. So Siobhan, how are you doing today? Thanks for coming on. Are you doing well?
I'm doing good, thank you. Just working from home today, so that's always a little less stressful.
Yeah, totally. So let's start by talking about how you got into the industry. Tell us what attracted you to property management and factoring.
Would you believe what actually got me into it is I was obsessed by watching like house improvement, refurbishment programs and things like that. And that was what attracted me. And I think what actually got me through the door was I had a lot of sort of team leadership, customer service roles previous. So okay. That got me in there without experience initially.
Okay. And then what happened beyond that? What took you? Was it originally factoring or was it something else you did before?
It was originally lettings, actually. Still property management, but lettings. And again, back then, if you wanted to be a property manager, you had to have a driver license, and I didn't have one. And I know I didn't learn to drive until I was 27, would you believe? But what the company that I worked for did at the time is it sort of decentralized things, changed things up a wee bit, and you didn't have to have a driver license for the role. So I got in the door, proved I could do the job, and that was that, yeah.
You have a driver license now, I'm assuming?
I do.
Good, excellent. Glad to hear it. This award, okay, there was huge amount of whooping and cheering from the Redpath Bruce table when that award was announced. What does it mean to you?
Well, it means a lot. I mean, what winning the award signifies to me is, you know, my role was a kind of new sort of hybrid role that was introduced, and I was sort of fighting for that role for a number of years. But like anything, the industry expects you to be managing a portfolio. Yeah. And I think sometimes they see it as if you've not got a portfolio, I suppose you're not making industry money. But what they did recognise in me is that, I was very passionate about, using all the features that were in CPL, introducing processes to make things more efficient, to be able to get things done quicker, teaching people and training people. That was just everything that I love. So they gave me the opportunity when I came back from maternity leave to do that role. What I had to do to be able to do that was actually move to the finance department, because I think that's where a lot of the gaps were. I'm not saying it was very property management v finance, but there was definitely a lack of understanding of each other's role. A lot of people think of everything starts at a repair, but it really does end on an invoice. And I only had the understanding from a property management point of view at that stage, and I really needed to understand what happened at the other end of that to then bring it all together. And now, that's given me lots of opportunity, brought lots of things to the business in terms of staff having a better understanding of each other's role, you know, and making things more efficient across the board, because we know what each department requires to get their job done.
Yeah, I think that in any business, you've got to look at what of your team are fee earning, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, yeah. So, and that tends to be how most businesses look at it. And they don't tend to look at it that if you have another role in place, like you're describing, like process efficiencies, training, make sure everyone's doing everything correctly, that can save a huge amount of time and a huge amount of cost. And also, if the processes are good enough, it means that you can grow as a business without maybe necessarily having to employ more staff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very, very important. And I understand the finance side of things. I mean, you know, I've been in software for God longer than I care to remember. And you know, IT or software and tech, unless you have an IT department, normally sits with finance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And that's normally who makes the decisions on IT and these sort of things. So
yeah.
I can wholly understand why that was the journey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Good. So tell me what challenges you've faced then in the role you have.
Well,
or in the industry, entirely up to you.
I've had, some people would say if I was your property manager, well, we joke about it in the work that you are cursed, right? But obviously it's a joke, but I've had a lot of, in what I would call a short period in the industry, I've had a lot of sort of challenges that I've experienced that none of my colleagues have. So, you know, I had sort of one incident very early on in my career where an owner called me and she was like, oh, there's a hole in the garden. You know, and, you know, on the face of it, that doesn't sound very serious. And I was like, okay. And, you know, she asked her all the question about where this hole was and thought I'd nailed it. Sent the contractor. The contractor's on the phone saying, I can't find a hole. You know, he found something small around about a drain and he fixed it. And anyway, she calls up a couple of days later. She is absolutely raging, you know, that we've not got the right location. So, you know, I do the right thing. I go out and meet her. And she says, it's down there. And I look down and, you know, it's a sort of tenement over on south side. And, you know, you go down into the basement garden and you would need to climb down there, which is lucky because no one's been down there. Because when I look down, there's, you know, there's a hole about that size, absolutely tiny, but I can see it's a really deep, dark black hole. And that if I stood on that ground, it would all just disappear underneath me. So I phoned the office and I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? And they're like, I don't know. Is there anything around you can see that, like, how the hole started? I says, well, there's a drain cover. So we phoned D&D Cant, good old Warnock. He's been there for a good number of years. He came out and he was like, wow. So all the drains ran down the full street, your main sort of drainage away. Everything came into it, but our drain, or the owner's drain going into that, had just come away and must have come away years and years and years before, and it had just washed away everything underneath that tenement. And so when Warnock opened up the ground and took the pictures and I was over there, it was like when you go on holiday, you know, to Greece and you take a boat trip and you go and see these lovely caves, that's what it was like. It was unbelievable. It went like 10 metres back, 3 metres high. And obviously the insurers were like, get them out. So you're 10 o'clock at night, we're getting the owners out. We're, you know, it turns out luckily everything was structurally safe. However, they did get, you know, a lot of concrete or, you know, I couldn't even tell you what they pumped under there. It was that long ago. But, you know, as part of the claim, that was all reinforced. But that was one of the first challenges that, you know, I came up against. And
I'm surprised you're still in property management after coming across that one so early.
That was a big one, and I do laugh about that even to this day and still tell it to new starts and things. But there's been a few more. You know, I've had two communal fires. Again, don't know many colleagues that have even experienced one. One of which, the fire was caused by one of these magnifying mirrors. You know, the ones that we all stick on our window that you shouldn't, by the way. This is like a warning.
Oh, to see more outside?
No, to see more of your face, you know, when you pluck your eyebrows.
Oh, right. Okay, right. Yeah, I don't do that. So, yeah.
Right. So those are not meant to be anywhere near your window because, as you would imagine, sun hits them. Yeah. Reflects on the curtains. Next minute, your whole roof's off. So that's what happened to that property. And of both properties that experienced a fire, typically none of them had a common insurance policy. They chose to have their own insurance. And in both cases, there was at least two owners that weren't insured. So the administering of the insurance claim for, you know, we'd some owners partly insured with us, some cases none of them insured with us, and coordinating all those different insurers that all had different, you know, they wanted to do it this way and they wanted to do it that way. And of course, for anything as a factor, we need to get the money in advance and know we can pay. So that was very challenging, very hard going, very stressful, dealing with individuals who, you know, they're not listening to you. And I'm quite good at administering an account side of a project. I have a good understanding of that. But I found that that's been challenging over the years, actually, dealing with professionals and, you know, them maybe trying to kind of think that you don't know what you're talking about and sort of you having to prove yourself that you do.
Yeah. Is it common these days for tenements or any, I guess, communal flatted development to not have a block insurance policy?
Yes. I mean, it's if we can't enforce it in the deed, you know, then, you know, and there's still some of the old deeds that don't say they have to have a common policy. Any new business coming on would say they have to, because it's, you know, it should be a given. It is silly, you know, people individually insuring their properties, bring that sum of money together, and if none of them have had any reinstatement valuations, you know, there's going to be a shortfall in there. Or you know, we were lucky in that those owners that weren't insured, they found the money. You know, we got the works done. We had more issues from other insurers actually than we did from the people who had the money, because, you know, you weren't dealing with a third party authorization sort of thing. So yeah, I highly recommend getting a common policy. And if off the face of it might seem like, you know, you're paying more than you would get online, of course that's going to be the case. We are, factors are making sure you're covered for every eventuality, whether you're a landlord, whether you're just an owner occupier, you know, we're covering for making sure that you're getting, you know, the full internal stacks and things like that. You know, we are covering every eventuality so that, you know, the insurer can't say, oh, that's not covered for, you know, a silly reason.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. That must be very difficult. Okay, so next thing, question for you. Has there been a project that's particularly interested you?
Well,
apart from drains that are tenants have disappeared and fires within buildings.
Okay, yeah, I mean,
I apologize, my dog has appeared.
Oh, lovely.
What's the dog's name? Really, he's meant to be lying down. He's decided that he wants to come and say hello. So I think you can actually see him as well.
I can.
You carry on.
So in general, what I really enjoy is making a process more efficient. You know, so, you know, I love going, right, why are we doing it like that? Like, tell me why. And then when I start to understand why, sometimes it's just because that's just the way we've always done it. And you know, and my husband actually says I've got an efficiency disorder, he calls it. You know, he said I've got a few disorders, but efficiency is one of them. And he even mentioned it in my wedding vows. And the reason I've got this is, well, I've got it in work as well. I want everything to be, you know, streamlined, and, you know, no one's doubling up in work and all of that. But out of work, if my husband doesn't take what I call the direct route, driving from A to B, I'll get really upset. I hate going back on myself. Like, why did you take a left when we are heading in the direction of right? That really, really upsets me. So that's what I find most rewarding. So there's like plenty of projects that we have been that I've sort of implemented and making better. So from a CPL point of view, that's it, from introducing charge types to, you know, introducing diarised charges, bringing in, you know, doing the full, you know, I'm the, also the utility guru, don't want to be that, but I am that, and, you know, pulling all together every supply that we have, getting it onto a bulk sort of tender exercise so that we don't, you know, we're not worrying about the date everything's going out because they're all different if they fall out of contract, and also getting them all onto one PL import and for billing. So these are, they're just a few of the projects. Other projects in terms of making things more streamlined, it's a never endless, a never ending, like just the planned maintenance thing you brought out recently, actually. We introduced that right away. I mean, the minute you made that go live, we were like, right, get every gutter clean on there.
Yeah.
You know, reoccurring. And that is, and then global run. That has made a major difference. We had to get poor Margaret in the work to, you know, write every gutter clean instruction, you know, which 1,000 jobs technically a year. And now everyone just had to chip in and do one, and there it is. And we can make it, we can go in and edit it and make it bigger and better and be more informative year on year. So these are the sort of things, if I see that it's going to help us as a business, we'll just dive right in and get it done. That's the sort of stuff that I really love. And when you can see the staff, when you're training it out to them, and they're coming back to you and going, wow, like, why was that not there before? Or why have we not used that before? But it's like anything, you know, I'm one person, and I'm always having to collaborate with various individuals in the office that have different skill sets from me. You know, I need someone from finance. I might be down in finance, but, you know, I'm not an accounts person. You know, I need someone from new business. I need someone from property management. I need one from, you know, I need all that knowledge to make things happen. And that's what I enjoy, getting groups together and seeing that they feel like they've been seen as well for the skill set they have. It's, I just love that. I love, and that's what winning the award meant to me. It showed that my role is valued not only by the business but by staff. So I, yeah, you know,
yeah. I mean, I a lot of businesses have a lot of fat in their processes, right? And they so we have a thing within CPL. So Helen, who is our actual head of people and culture, in fact, head of people and culture director now, she's lean certified, and lean is a kind of an efficiency kind of recognized efficiency program.
Okay.
My brother's lean certified as well, I think. And and you know, these are, you get a lot of people who love doing that thing. It's just like, right, what, so why are we taking three steps to do something we only need one for? Mm-hmm. Right, you know, it's just madness. Why would we do that? So you get a lot of people who get a real kick out of that sort of stuff, and it does. I mean, there's the negative connotation of making efficiency, which means you don't need as many people, right? So, and that is a thing that people have to think about. But again, if you're in if you think of it that you could redeploy those people elsewhere for, I don't know, customer service roles, or you know, engaging with customers more and these sort of things, then actually, you know, that process of leaning a process is very worthwhile.
I mean, we've not lost any staff through this. In fact, we're growing, because what it's doing is making everyone's job a bit easier and giving us room for growth without always necessarily taking on extra staff, but certainly never losing existing, you know. So, but like you say, it just mean what we've done is there's some roles of, you know, people move around in our business quite a lot. We've had, you know, property managers that have moved to accounts departments. We've had, you know, property support that have moved down to accounts, or vice versa. You know, people try out different roles, and having all of these processes that are now sort of down in writing that we've been working on makes that easier for everyone, you know, because actually you just go, here it is in black and white. Anyone could walk in the door and go, you've now got that. You could actually do that task from start to finish. And, you know, that's that. But, and I don't feel it's, I know there is a negative thing about it, but it hasn't, that's not the impact it's having in our business. It's, to me, it's creating more knowledge, it's creating more confidence from staff and, you know, and what they're there to do. I just think it's overall been a pretty positive.
Good. Excellent. So, What advice would you give to others who are maybe thinking of getting into property factoring as a career, or who might have just started out?
Go for it, is what I'd say. You know, the thing about property management is every day is a school day. There's no 2 days the same, and you'll never be bored, you know, no matter what you do. When I first started in Redpath Bruce, it was very overwhelming, you know, coming from a lettings background. Although I had transferable skills, there's a lot to, you know, there's a lot to take on. And I think one of the things that I didn't do initially that I wish I did was, and well, you say you did, you briefly read over like your, you know, your SLA, your written statement of services, and you kind of were like, okay, but that was just like, felt like information overload. But actually, if I took a step back and focused on that, I would have been more confident to say to owners, no, that isn't part of our service. We don't do that. You know, you can still do that in a nice way and point them in the right direction of, you know, or teach an owner that's a private thing that they'd have to do themselves. Whereas I think there was a lot when I first started in the industry where everyone was just doing everything the owner said and actually creating more work for themselves and not getting the job done that needed to be done. That and the biggest advice I could always give is listening to owners, being empathetic and just putting yourself in their shoes. And I think once you do that, you know, some people come into the business, they've never even had their own flat or house. And, you know, and that, I think sometimes that can seem, it helps to have had that. And I, you know, I lived in my own flat from the age of 16. So I already had that sort of knowledge of what had to be done and how upsetting it would be if a contractor didn't attend and all of that. So I think that really does help. Putting yourself in an owner's shoe and just go for it. I think, you know, when I first started, it was a lot, it was mainly men actually, you know, and it is, you know, a lot more. I think we've actually got 60% women in our office now. But together, like, we all just like respect each other, get the job done, share the knowledge, and it just doesn't matter whether you're a man or woman now, whereas I did feel when I first started, owners weren't used to seeing a woman do this job. But to me, it's the norm now. And you get the same amount of respect when you go and visit an owner as you did as a man. But that's all changed. It's just like, here we are.
and 15 years isn't that long a time either. So
I know, it isn't really.
It's such a short time. Yeah.
I mean, it was already starting to change as I started, you know, but I still felt that, like, if you were having a conversation. And I think as well, a lot of owners have told me this, I sound quite old on the phone and apparently look quite young. 15 years ago, I don't know. But, you know, so when I turn up, they'd be like, who's this wee lassie? You know, that's the kind of impression you got. And that's not who I've been speaking to on the phone. But yeah, once you get chatting to them and, you know, give them confidence that you know what you're doing, then it was all good. But yeah, been big changes over the years.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, to just take your example there about someone appearing that looks a lot younger, my father is... He's just turned 88 and he spends quite a lot of time at doctors and hospitals. And all he ever says is, oh my God, the doctors are getting younger. I'm sure the guy who treated me today was 12. You
know? But right, it's true.
It is. So last question for you. What are your plans and goals for the future then? What's the plan?
Well, I suppose to continue what I'm doing, because it is never ending. You know, every process that I've implemented or, you know, put in place or worked with people on since coming back after maternity leave in 2021 has had various different versions, because your software is updating, that then affects a process, and then actually it's got a knock-on effect on another process, and then I have to retrain that out. So I'll basically just keep doing that is what my hope in for the future is. You know, I would like to become director one day, I'm not going to lie, but I kind of want to get all the ducks in a row and make sure everything is how I would like it to be with my efficiency disorder and all that. And basically, I'll just do what senior management tell me to do, because that's what I'm here for, isn't it?
I mean, with innovation and, you know, and obviously, I mean, we've now got, I don't know, some must be someone in the reason that 10 developers are in the business. So we're developing software at a fairly fast rate, and not new products coming out. I don't think your job would ever, or there's never going to be something that you can't use technology for to make an effect within the business. That mm-hmm. that will never stop. I mean, someone once said to me, when's a software product ever finished? It's never finished. A software product is never finished. It always evolves. It's got, you know, tech changes, life changes, you know what I mean? So you've always got to stay ahead of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. And you know me, you know, I'm always about good and bad feedback and honest feedback. And, you know, I like working with you guys because, you know, we get an understanding of what you do and how things are instructed with you and things. And there's room for improvement on CPL, but it's also a fantastic product, you know. And I think, like, yeah, I don't see, you know, I like CPL. There you
go. It's good to hear. No, I mean, you're right. Everything can always be improved. Can always be improved. I mean, I have a lovely motor vehicle and I have the latest iPhone, and they don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
You know, so everything can always be improved. So yeah. Good. Excellent. Okay. Right. Thanks very much for coming on. That's been really brilliant. Thank you.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Siobhan.